Welcome back to the second part of the Townships at 12 for today. I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and in this part of the show, I will be talking with Heather Davis. Heather is a professor at both Bishop's University and Sherbrooke University, teaching writing and children's literature. Today, she will talk about her story in the Township Sun this month. Remember, the theme this month is generations, and Heather represents Generation X, those born between 1965 and 1980. But first, we will hear the song called Once in a Lifetime by Talking Heads. We will hear the interview right after the song, so please stay tuned.
And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Letting the days go by, let the water hold me down. Letting the days go by, water flowing underground into the blue again. After the money's gone, once in a lifetime, water flowing underground.
And you may ask,
for the Cube, and today I'm very pleased to welcome Heather Davis to the Townships at 12. Now, Heather, she wrote an article for the Township Sun, and this month, the month of October, it's all about different generations. And Heather wrote about Generation X, stuck in the middle, born between 1965 and 1980. So, welcome, Heather.
Hi.
First of all, would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I've been living in the townships. I've been living around Sherbrooke since around 2010, and I grew up in Vancouver, but I really feel at home here, and I like the nature and the mix of French and English, and I teach at the two universities here. I teach English and creative writing and children's literature. Yeah, that's about me.
Okay. Have you ever written any articles before for the Township Sun?
I feel like I have written some articles and maybe some poems in the past. So, yeah, it's a very nice opportunity for people to get published around here. And one of my students had a haiku published this year as well.
Okay, good. Now, what inspired you to write this piece, to get interested in it? It's about generations this month. So Generation X, you are a member of Generation X. What inspired you to write this article for The Sun?
Well, because of the theme of the issue, Rachel asked me if I was interested in writing about my generation. And it struck me that I was interested because lately I had started talking often to my students about the surprising differences between their generation and my generation. So I had often been just in the middle of teaching a course, I was often sort of struck by something from my past that I felt like my students really had no idea about, you know, no idea of the experiences or the differences that had taken place over time.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So you're in the generation I would see as being the most, the most technology came in around your generation. My daughter was born, she's a member of Generation X. So I read your article. A few things I'm surprised at.
Oh, that's interesting. I have repetitive memories of making ashtrays out of clay at school, and this is in the 1970s, and just this vague memory that it was just assumed that all our parents could use another ashtray. Mm-hmm. And then I remembered that, you know, even though I don't remember my parents smoking very much, that they did smoke, you know, back in the 70s. But then a lot of people quit all around the same time.
Yeah, that's good that they quit. Good. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of sad to see young people smoking today. Okay.
That's true.
Yeah, so could you elaborate maybe on your article? It's interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So in my article, I talk a bit about some of these things that I experienced growing up. For example, when the first microwave ovens came around, my friend's father insisted that everybody in the family take a course before they were allowed to touch the family's microwave oven. And I often point out to students that we couldn't take a million photographs back then, and that if we wanted to have a flash on our photos, we had to put a little cube on top of our camera, and then we could take maybe four or five flashes, and then we had to throw it away. And then as I was writing about all these details, I started asking myself why I felt so compelled to share these details with my students. And I realized, sort of reflecting at the end, that I wanted them to know that, you know, it's possible to exist without some of the busyness of today, without the speed of technology, that I think technology increases the pace of our lives. And I wanted them to know that while it seems sometimes that nothing is changing, that when you look back at 50 years, for example, that things really do change. But I wanted them to sort of think about that and realize things are changing, and but we should reflect on which things, you know, which changes are we accepting as inevitable, but maybe we can have a say about them. You know, so if I were to go back, I would say, I'm not making my parents an ashtray, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. What do your students find the most surprising about the time that you grew up?
That's a good question. I think one of the things they find the most surprising is that, for example, when I went off on a trip, you know, to Europe for 2 months when I was 19, you know, I called my parents once. And for them, that's entirely shocking that they wouldn't be in touch with their parents, you know, through text or calling them, you know, almost consistently. So just the idea that you could feel comfortable not knowing, you could feel comfortable not hearing from somebody for a little while and not knowing exactly where they are at every moment. That's very shocking to them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because in today's world, we're in touch with our family like many times a day through email, messenger, things like that. So yeah, that is, do you feel like technology right now is going way too fast? Do you ever get students that are using AI for their essays and things?
Oh, I do have some challenges with AI for the essays, definitely, because I've noticed that the AI in literature courses, the AI has a tendency to invent quotes. So that is a little disturbing, and I have a tendency to try to push my students back to writing on paper occasionally, or doing first drafts on paper. Yeah, so I feel like myself, I'm questioning sort of how much technology is in my life and which of it I want to keep, which is essential and which is helping me and which is not helping, or just creating a hectic pace or more new challenges.
Mm-hmm. Do you yourself try to decrease your time on social media, different things like that?
I would say that I do, and it's not necessarily a big effort, because I don't, you know, I think I do spend less time than I used to when Facebook was new, but I think a lot of people probably do spend less time. I feel like I get a lot of pleasure out of just sitting on the front steps and watching people go by, and reading actual books, and getting to see my students face to face in the classroom and doing things together, and getting them to print out their essays so I can mark paper copies, things like that.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that you taught through Zoom during the when COVID was quite bad. Do you notice that this changed the classroom in general, even when you're back?
There are definitely changes, and I know that personally I came back really seeking more connection, and realizing that the students wanted that as well and needed that. And so I've shifted sort of from the type of teaching that I want to do. But it also, I think, made me question certain things, since we had to rely on technology so much during COVID. You know, it brings up questions now of, well, what can we do now? Do we still need to rely on it that much? Is it essential to have your entire course online available for students? You know, do you have to give a whole bunch of options, or is it enough to present material in class with the students and have that experience mm-hmm. with them there?
Okay. What do you notice about the younger generation? What about their values and their ambitions? Have those changed?
For the younger generation, I've been pleasantly surprised by their values. I have these memories of my brother and I in the 70s, and we used to fantasize about becoming millionaires and all the stuff that we'd buy and how many cars and mansions we would have. And sometimes when I'm teaching grammar, I'll ask students to write about what they would do if they had $1 million, except that now I make it more than $1 million because it's not that much today. Mm-hmm. And their answers are always very modest. And usually what they want is they want to be able to buy a house. And sometimes they want to be able to take care of their parents. And usually they say that they'll continue doing their job or whatever they're studying anyway, because they want to contribute to the world. And their goals are modest. And if they have an excess of money, they often want to find a way to contribute that back. So I would say that they don't necessarily have the same access to this idea that they're going to become richer all their lives. That's not accessible to them in the same way it used to be to people. And maybe because of that, they have other, I feel, better kind of goals, mm-hmm. More collective goals.
Okay, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. You feel like you yourself are in the shadow of the boomer generation? How do you see the boomer generation?
I think all of my life, when I heard people talking about generations, they're usually talking about the boomer generation. And it took me a long time to even understand or know what generation I was a part of. It seems that my generation, I feel like we'll always be a bit alternative instead of being mainstream, just because we're not as numerous as the boomer generation. So it feels like we never quite got the full spotlight, or we were never center stage, just kind of a lurking in the shadows of the Generation X.
Okay, that's interesting. What do you like most about your generation?
Oh, that's a good question. What do I like most about my generation? I think I like this kind of lurking in the shadows aspect, or sort of alternative, you know, non-mainstream aspect. It kind of gives some, I don't know if it gives some freedom or some creativity, but it's a good question. I'm not too sure.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add about the article you wrote or your generation?
No, I think we've covered it all.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess that's it then. Again, I want to thank you, Heather Davis, for writing an article. You're a professor at both universities in the Writing and Children's Literature Department, for writing your article for the Township Sun, Generation X, Stuck in the Middle, born 1965 to 1980. And definitely wish you all the best. And thanks again for the interview.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And bye. And don't forget, the October issue of the Township Sun is on sale now. To find out some more information or to subscribe, go to townshipsun.ca or give them a call, 819-566-7424. We just heard a song by The Police, Every Breath You Take, here on the Townships at 12. You're listening to The Cube, 88.9 FM. Next up, we have some health news here on the Townships at 12. Now today, your body on alcohol. It's hardly news that large amounts of alcohol can wreak havoc on the body. Alcohol is ethanol, a nervous system depressant, and after you drink, every major organ in your body is exposed to it, particularly the liver, which does the heavy lifting of detoxifying the blood. Research has also shown that alcohol is a carcinogen that increases the risk of breast, esophageal, colorectal, and liver cancers. Long-term drinking heightens the risk of heart attack, stroke, and weakened heart muscles, as well as cirrhosis of the liver and fatty liver disease. Drinking too much has also long been associated with depression and anxiety, digestive issues, memory problems, and lower immunity. It also leads to disinhibition, which can trigger violent or risky behavior. An estimated 28.8 million U.S. adults have alcohol use disorder, a condition that makes it difficult to stop or control drinking. That all has to do with drinking to excess, but what about the idea that one glass a day is good for you? Doesn't wine contain antioxidants that help the heart? And don't wine-drinking people in the Mediterranean live longer? These factors must balance out some risk, right? Again, not so much. And that's our health news today. It's from the Prevention Magazine, November 2024 issue.
Mother,
That was Cyndi Lauper. Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I would like to thank my guests today, John Mackley in the first half hour and Heather Davis in the second half hour. Again, support the Township Sun. Visit the website at townshipsun.ca or give them a call at 819-566-7424 and subscribe. We will close today's show with a song by Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Thanks for listening, and if any one of you know of a possible interview, please send me an email at cjmqnews@gmail.com. Have a great afternoon, everyone.